as an alternative player. And a furious rally down the middle of the track on the long stretch. And for Aubrey Green, a very big win. Congratulations.
Thank you.
You know, I'm sure you've noticed. I mean, the internet went crazy when you won. Everybody was so excited for you.
Yeah, it was really surreal.
Talk a little bit about it, and obviously we got to get some background for those that don't know about you. But I did see that Sophie Doyle was celebrating. Michelle Lovell gave you a big boost as well, and talk about the decision to ride down there this winter because you've got a plan, it seems.
Yeah, so I've been riding at the fairgrounds. This is my third winter. I came down here in 2017, but I was injured that year and came back at the end of the meet, rode Louisiana Downs, and I've kind of followed that pattern for the last 2 years. This year, I went to Delta Downs after Louisiana Downs finished, and I was kind of on the fence about where I was going to go. I was thinking about staying at Delta Downs, but I didn't have any business there. So I decided about 2 weeks into that meet, actually, that wasn't going to pan out, and started coming over and working horses at the fairgrounds like I've been doing every year, and just being as optimistic as I could going into this meet. It's usually really tough. There's a lot of really good riders here, a very strong jockey colony. But this meet has started out really good. And about 10 days before the Classic, I won an allowance race on pound for pound over at Delta Downs, which was kind of his prep race to get him ready for the stake. And it was just a really exciting moment for me. I really wanted to win it. I did ride pound for pound last spring in a stake race and ended up running second. So I really was grinding to not let that happen again this year.
Your background, and we'll talk about the specific horses, and you're getting a lot of mounts from a variety of trainers. And I also want you to update us on how Fred Amy is doing, one of the legendary jock agents. And Fred has handled you and is sort of on the sidelines right now. And I think Rich Kettner is handling your business.
Yeah. Richard Kettner contacted me about 3 weeks before this meet started and was interested in taking my book. And I'd been kind of shopping around for agents. Fred had let me know that he was going to retire. His health is not doing so well. He's been in the hospital a little bit, and he is at home now and seems to be doing all right. So, but he's not going to be coming back to work.
Fred Amy, about as storied a jock agent as there is, and we should really get some more news from about Fred, but I appreciate you giving us that update. Your background, where did you start, and how did you make your way to the racetrack?
I'm going to try to make it a long story really short. When I was I was about 28 years old when I got licensed in Idaho. I rode a couple quarter horse races at the fairs and went to Wyoming Downs, rode there, started on thoroughbreds. I got one thoroughbred win, kind of moved all over the country from fair meet to fair meet, some California racing, some Nevada, Washington, Oregon. I was all over the place. And I landed at Louisiana Downs my bug year in 2017 and had a really good meet. I learned a lot and came to the fairgrounds where like I mentioned earlier, I was injured, big learning experience. And so I've just kind of pushed through that and moved forward and tried to become the strongest rider that I can be. I'm still trying to get stronger, still trying to get smarter, still trying to learn every single time that I go out there from every horse that I ride. But yeah, that's a long story short to my background.
Well, but what got you onto the racetrack originally? And you know, did you do pony stuff and show stuff? Or
no,
or
no. I wanted to be a jockey when I was a kid, but that was kind of shut down. I didn't really have any access to it. I didn't know anybody that was in the racing industry. Didn't even know there was horse racing around Idaho. And so when I was, I went through a divorce, which kind of pushed me into wanting to pursue what I wanted out of life. And so when I went through that, I decided that I was going to go and chase this dream that I had always wanted to do. And I started galloping horses at a little training track, quarter horses at a little training track for some good friends. And that's, I kind of just fell into it from there. I didn't follow a traditional path to get into racing. I didn't spend a whole lot of time preparing for races. I kind of jumped into it both feet first. And that's a good thing and has some drawbacks too, because I didn't have the experience necessary early on. But I think that for me, that was the journey that I had to take.
it's fascinating because, so many different avenues to, to get to the racetrack. That's amazing that you would literally, just take an interest and see the game and work your way on. How much resistance did you get from family?
A lot. my family was not supportive at all initially. They, especially because I have three kids. And so it was, it was a big untraditional move for me to start chasing something that requires so much time and it demands a lot of energy. So they were not supportive for about the first year and a half. But once I started to show that, this was a lucrative business, that I could support myself with it, and that I really lived for it, and my family began to see that, they've become extremely supportive. They're my biggest fans. They follow they watch all my races, they come and see me whenever they can, even though they're across the country. So it's been a really big growth pattern, I guess, for me and my family, and there's been nothing but a positive experience.
Really cool. And who, in terms of getting onto the circuit and the jocks room and the people, riders that that have helped you, senior riders or contemporaries, who's been helping you improve your the way you go about riding?
My biggest teacher was Isaiah Sinriquez, and he was at Turf Paradise when I was a bug. He took me under his wing when I had no idea what I was doing. I was getting myself into trouble. I was making the other riders angry. I ended up getting dazed at one point because I cut somebody off, just a very inexperienced green rider. So he took me under his wing, put me on an equisizer that we built together, and just hounded me. I mean, he was like a coach in my ear constantly and kept me driven and kept me focused. And so he really taught me the most important foundational, the basics of riding. The biggest teacher since him has just been experience, being on many, many horses and, learning. Every horse can teach you something. Every horse brings something new that you didn't know how to put your hands, and you figure it out while you're on that horse. Or, just little things that you learn on every single horse and in every single race. Here at the fairgrounds, I do get a little bit of feedback from Sophie Doyle and Chantel Sutherland. They've been riding for several years longer than I have. And, always good criticism coming from them. James Graham has always been a great support and help when, if I have questions, I go to him. Other than that, it's just, like I said, a learning experience that you learn as you're out there.
No doubt. No doubt. The trainers, I mean, talk about rapport and, you know, building relationships from that end, and, you know, the kind of, you know, the kind of horses you like to ride. You must get on some in the morning, obviously, you know, to earn mounts. Talk a little bit about that side of impressing horsemen.
Well, I've been slowly building my business here at the fairgrounds. It's, like I said, it's always a tough meet. There's a lot of riders. There's a lot of business that comes from Kentucky that I don't have right off the bat because I'm from Louisiana. I ride for the Louisiana people. And so it's trying to get into those barns, it proves pretty difficult. But I think I'm starting to make an impression, and hopefully they'll start, you know, giving me some shots on some horses. I've got a mount coming up for Louis Russell that I'm pretty excited about, and had some good feedback from Steve Margolis and some other trainers that I've never ridden for that maybe I might be able to get a shot for. I do ride a little bit for Merrill Scherer. Always, I have ever since I got here, have a good relationship with him. And Tracy Glover, I ride frequently for. He runs both Louisiana and Kentucky, and I've shipped into Kentucky a couple of times to ride for him as well. So I have some pretty good foundational business and hope to just continue to grow.
Absolutely. You mentioned Merrill, and Merrill, one of our absolute favorites in the game. And I see that you've got a chance on Diamond and Silks, who got who's a 2-year-old, a Verrazano, that got the debut out of the way in a maiden claimer and is moving into maiden special company on Saturday.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the filly has a little bit of ability. I think she just she needs to learn. I think she's kind of a slow learner. So I'm optimistic. I hope that she runs a really big race. Hopefully we'll win. But if not, I know that she's going to improve.
Well, and you've been, you know, just looking at your mount totals and your wins, you've exceeded your earnings from the last 2 years. You fell just under $1 million in earnings. You busted through this weekend, $1,142,000 in earnings, pound for pound. You know, one of those horses that, you know, down the road, you'll obviously remember for what it delivered on Saturday.
Yeah, absolutely. Pound for Pound has been one of my favorite horses since the first time I rode him last spring. He's just so sweet and classy, and he's just a gentle giant. I get along with him really well. The owner and trainer both felt that I fit him really well, and he runs really well for me. So I've been looking forward to getting back on him. He goes to a different track in the summer than I do, so I didn't get to ride him. And I think he actually got turned out for a little while, gave him a break. But I was really excited when I got the opportunity to go back to Delta Downs and ride him. And obviously got that win. And I didn't know that we were shooting for the stake, so it was just like a Christmas present to have him have the opportunity to ride in that stake race. And I still can't believe that we won it.
Well, it was terrific. I was watching and kind of moving around on Saturday, watching stuff from Gulfstream and switching back and forth between the New York and fairgrounds, and watched the race. And you could really pick up. You could see when, you know, in the stretch, the way you were rallying, that pound for pound, he got out a little bit too. He seemed to be getting out late.
Yeah, yeah, he was drifting a little bit. He's a very he's heavy headed, and he has a lot of heart. But if you don't ask him for it, he won't. He's just going to go as fast as you ask him. And so down the stretch, I think he was really trying to hang a little bit. I wanted to bring him back over to the four horse, which was Diego Sainz was riding. I really wanted to bring him back over to him to get him more aggressive, which it turned out to work. And so, at the eighth pole, I didn't think we had it won. I thought, he's quitting on me. I'm going to run third. And I tried to pick him back up and bring him close, and when I asked him again, he started to get to dig in, and then we just kept going together and made it happen.
We sure did. And the first horse that you've earned over six figures with, pound for pound, after this big win, $90,000 to the winner. What do we know about Andrea Ali and Israel Flores, owner and trainer?
Well, Israel, I don't know very well. I just know that he's a fan of my riding style. So right off of that, I'm a fan of his. And Andrea has some history with another trainer that I ride for, Jose Grimaldo, and so they kind of partnered together and made this connection happen. They're both wonderful people. I get along with them really well. They keep in touch with me about how the horses are doing. Andrea sends me pictures and videos of them at the farm, and so it's just a really good working relationship, good friendship, and I couldn't be more grateful to ride for such great horsemen.
Well, you've got, as I mentioned, you've got a ton of mounts over the next several days, and of course, Louisiana with the draw, you know, well out in advance, including Saturday's state card, and you've got a couple of maidens and a couple of lightly raced older maidens that you're involved with. You mentioned Louis Russell, and you got Whittle Giant for Louis. I see this Red Hot Devil for John Cowan making a second start too. Tell us about that colt.
I just worked him a couple of days ago. It was the first time I've ever been on him. He's quite a handful in the morning, but we managed to get him out and get a good work from him, and I'm really excited. I get along with him really well also. He's soft in the mouth and just gives to me just exactly like I asked him to. When I asked him to work, he worked. When I asked him to slow down, he relaxed. I mean, so I'm really excited about this horse. And John thinks that he has a lot of ability too.
Well, plenty of opportunities for you, and I'm just amazed by the variety of trainers that you've been riding for and coming up. Aubrey Green, delighted for you. I it was infectious how many people were congratulating you and were excited for your success winning the Champions Day Classic on Saturday. So well done. Stay safe. Continued success.
Yes, thank you so much.
Aubrey Green, and I saw you on Twitter because somebody included your address. And how do they follow you?
I think it's, I'm terrible with Twitter. I'm still learning Twitter. I think my name is Aubrey 7272.
It is. I just found it. It is.
Yeah.
All right.
I may have set that account up before I even became a jockey. So I never used it until, just the last couple of months. I started trying to get into the Twitter world because it seems like there's a lot of horsemen that use Twitter and you get a lot of information and news about what's going on. So I'm trying to jump in there with you guys.
Well done. Aubrey 7272 is her address, and I'll send it out today. And there's a nice couple of pictures, one of you working and one of you on a mount. So everybody can follow Aubrey. She's got 124 followers as of right now. Let's get her up to 200. And Aubrey, really fun. Thanks so much. Merry Christmas. And we'll see you. I'm not going to get there till Derby week, but the Louisiana Derby week. But we'll be watching and rooting you along.
All right. Thank you so much. Merry Christmas.
Aubrey Green, everybody. And a big breakthrough win. And it was that kind of, it's been that kind of weekend. And really, it's been that kind of early winter with all the different breakthrough trainers and particularly trainers. I mean, Brittany Russell last week and Andrew Lerner and Jerry O'Dwyer. We're going to talk to Georgina Baxter. Something was goofy with her phone, but we're going to try her now too. And she got her first graded stake win with Ladies Island on Saturday. I've also got to get to Elizabeth Dobles as well, who got the win with War Story. It's very encouraging. You know, that conversation I had in Arizona last week, you think about that with Matthew O'Connor, you know, who's 20, whatever, 24 and starting, these are all for the most part. I mean, Georgina's been around a little bit longer. She's a little bit older, but Doblis, I don't think she's 30. Just now, Brittany Russell certainly can't be, you know, more than 30. Jerry O'Dwyer, early 30s. Lerner, early 30s. I think he's, what, 30, 29, didn't, right? When did we talk? We 28, 29? So plenty of nice stories. Take a timeout. We'll try again with Georgina Baxter at the races. Back after this.
Racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio. Whether at home, at the track, or on the go, ExpressBet is your way to play the races. ExpressBet provides legal and secure online and mobile betting on more than 300 of the world's top tracks and all the big events. And when you sign up for an ExpressBet account today with promo code BIK, that's BYK, you'll receive a $125 bonus. Once you've signed up, you can take your wagering experience to the next level with XB Rewards, ExpressBet's industry-leading loyalty program. Earn points for every bet you make and cash them in on everything from wagering credits to exclusive racetrack experiences. So what are you waiting for? Sign up for ExpressBet today using promo code BIK. That's BYK to get your $125 bonus. Conditions apply. Must be 18 or older and 21 in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet LLC and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void where prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
145 over 92.
180 over 111.
182 over 100. And I had a heart attack and a cardiac arrest. And then a stroke.
Your blood pressure numbers could change your life.
A lot of people don't understand, including myself, I didn't, now I do, the impact of having a stroke.
My memory is shot.
When I woke up, I couldn't speak.
If I would have followed a treatment plan, I would not be in this situation.
It's a tough journey.
Lowering your high blood pressure could save you from a heart attack or stroke. If you've stopped your treatment plan, restart it, or talk to your doctor about creating one that works better for you. Start taking the right steps at manageyourbp.org.
It's a new life, but I'm going to make it better. I'm coming back. Ask your doctor. Check your blood pressure.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing, this is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
It was December 24th on Hollis Avenue, the dark, when I seen a man chilling with his dog at the park. I approached him very slowly with my heart full of fear. Looked at his dog.
We're back at the races, and it took a little bit of jury rigging, but we're able to connect with Georgina Baxter, who got a really important win. Not that she hasn't been winning stakes. She's won a bunch of them since officially hanging the shingle. But the graded stake win for Ladies Island in the Sugar Swirl, particularly notable. It's a real pleasure to congratulate Georgina Baxter. Welcome.
Well, yes, thank you very much. Thank you.
Georgina, I'm as excited to talk about your background as all the good things that are happening with the horses, because you have had, I suppose, as thorough a background and education and preparation to be training in North America as really anybody that I can think of recent vintage.
Yeah, I know. Nobody ever, like, you know, nobody realizes that. Yeah, I come from a big racing background, my family and those, you know, with my employment. My dad was a jockey. He was a good flat jockey in England. And, you know, my grandfather was a trainer and a jockey. You know, I traveled all over. You know, I've been to Dubai and everything. I've worked for big names over here, and I've rode some nice horses. I'm very fortunate.
I made a joke earlier when I said you were going to join us. Like everyone that comes from the UK, everyone that is going to come to this country has to work for Eddie Keneally.
Oh yeah, you do. Yeah, of course. he's the only one we can understand, and he's the only one that understands him. So yeah, we all diverge over there. Correct. We always take that far.
Well, and you must have been, when you were with Eddie, you must have been there during the incubation between Morley and Brendan Walsh and you. I mean, it's pretty impressive.
Yeah, I was actually there when Brendan Walsh was there. Correct.
There you
go.
We
worked alongside each other. Yeah, we learn a lot. He's a good teacher.
Did you? You must have beaten him a couple of times in workouts, right? Because.
Oh yeah. I was a better judge than Brendan, but you know, he's a great horseman too.
Yes, he is.
Yeah, we used to laugh and joke. Yeah, we breathed a few times out the gate together, and
Well, Michael Matz, though, you started with Michael Matz, you worked for Al Stahl, and even predating the American visits and coming to the U.S., between Hills and Brett, and you've got the most amazing pedigree that I can imagine.
Yeah, well, I started, I suppose the reason I actually came to America, I worked for a guy called Peter Brett in Dubai for like 4.5 years. And, you know, when he left, him and his family came over here, and, you know, he basically said, you know, he was the one who brought me over, so you can blame him. And, you know, he was working for Matz at the time, and, you know, he used to gallop Barbaro. He was assistant there. So, you know, one of the first horses I galloped here was Barbaro. So I owe Peter a lot. He brought me over here, and, you know, went on that journey. And then I went and worked for, I took the Eddie Keneally route, like as all Europeans do, especially as English and Irish crew. And then I went to work for Al Stahl. He, you know, another great horseman. I've been very, very fortunate. And, you know, I rode the likes of Blaine there and Star Guitar. And I was always trusted with the nice horses. So.
Well, now you're getting them with your name on the program, and, you know, talk about stepping out on your own, and in to some degree, you know, the success that's happening with Rich Averill and the Matisse family racing, that to some degree was inherited from the Zadie barn, but you've really stepped forward.
Yeah, well, I worked for the Zadies for 5 years. I know how they work. They're incredible horsemen. They love their horses. That, you know, one thing he taught me was, you know, horses first and happy horses win races. And that's a kind of motto, you know, we've got, and, you know, I've tried to carry on. And Rich always had horses with them and had a lot of success. And, you know, when that fell apart, you know, rather than disperse the barn, you know, Rich approached me. And I'd taken my trainer's license a few years ago. I did the trainer's course in Churchill. And I'd been offered horses before, like 3 and 4. But, you know, we came as a barn. You know, so I was inheriting a load of horses and a load of nice horses. And, you know, keep everybody together, keep the staff in employment, keep the horses. You know, some of these horses have been in the barn years, and
sure.
you know, we get attached to them. So, you know, we just wanted to keep the crew, and I've always had a great relationship with them. And yeah, so I was very grateful for the offer, and I, you know, willingly accepted. You know, so I have to say, I have a lot to thank, you know, Richard Averill for.
And Rich, of course, loves the game at any level. He'll claim horses. He's buying horses from all different sides of things. And this horse that we're obviously, you know, going to discuss when it comes to Ladies Island. I mean, she, I thought, was really used the right way on Saturday. I mean, no question about what you wanted to do. Just go full throttle, get the lead, and
yeah.
You basically just ham-boned everybody.
Well, speed is our best friend, you know?
Sure.
The speed is our best friend. I mean, she's such a good filly. She's so quick. Everybody always says they've got a really fast filly, and every time I just look and I just stay quiet and shake my head. But, I mean, one thing I have to do is I have to give props to Richard Averill and Matisse. I mean, they do such a good job of picking these horses out to claim. And, you know, they do a very good job at placing them. It's no secret they like to campaign their own horses. And, I mean, they've been so lucky together. I think the first horse they had in partnership was Pay Any Price. I mean, you know, he's a star. And they've got Ladies Island, and they've got Cowtown. And I think they have owned one horse. They own four horses together. I mean, so they're so lucky together. But I think it's more than luck. I think it's skill. You know, they're big form guys. They're good at reading the figures, and they're very good at handicapping. So, I mean, we make a great team. Together, we all make a great team.
This is a filly, now a mare, that was claimed last year for $16,000, and you ran her back for $30,000, and she won, and then you took advantage of the conditions, and you basically, you know, kind of marched her up the ladder, and, you know, with the time and with the spacing, she's just gotten better and better and better. You know, talk about what you did with her, and whatever you've done to try to maximize the talent that she already had.
Well, we basically, you know, gave her the time she needed. You know, she's always been a fast filly. I think I said once before, it was like having a Ferrari engine on a push bike. You know, so we give her the time I needed, and she's like, she's put on a lot of muscle now. She's bigger, and she's wider, and she's stronger. And I, you know, as I said, you've got to thank the owners for giving us, you know, the opportunity to give the horses time. Some people don't give them the time they need. And, you know, their campaigns are really, really good. They've picked the races very, you know, wisely. And, you know, as I said, everything's come together with this filly. You know, she's done everything right. You know, she's got the talent, and we're just doing the right thing by her. So, you know, as I said, as a team, it just works. But it helps that the filly is so talented.
Well, exactly. I mean, you got to have a horse with some ability to begin with.
Exactly. Yeah, as I said, she always had the Ferrari engine. She just, you know, as I said, you give her time. Like, she's filled out. She's put on so much weight and muscle, and, you know, now she's got the bodywork to put the engine in. You know, so she's just gone from strength to strength. And as I said, they've campaigned her so well that, you know, they've always picked the right races for her, and you know, I've just done my job and told her when she's doing good and ready to go.
We should also mention, even though it didn't come into play on Saturday, although the track was listed as good, she is one of the real authentic types that moves up on a wet track. There's a misnomer that every horse that wins in the mud or the wet is a mudlark. That's not true.
That's definitely not true with her. I mean, 2019, I think she's 8 from 9 this year. The only time she got beat, she was second to a filly that, you know, ran in the
Breeders' Stormy
Cup.
Embrace, yeah.
But she's won on the slot. She's won on fast dirt. And she's won on the turf. I mean,
yep.
You know, we're absolutely blessed to have a filly like that in the barn. I mean, she's so versatile. So, you know, they say good horses run on anything. So she's proven that.
There you go. Well, and in fact, you look at the calendar, and she's won three races, two stakes that came off the turf. So having the ability, not every horse that is entered in a turf race, turf sprint, turf stake like that, they don't all stay in, or they don't all translate their form. So to have one that you're just as excited about running her on an off track, if the race comes off, and a lot of times it's a diminished field too. So that's a further advantage.
Yeah, she was Penny Price's backup in the Bob Humphreys, and it obviously, we wanted to run that horse, and then it came off the turf. And when you're actually in a better position when it comes off the grass to win the race, and with a filly, I mean, she's obviously very special. I mean, she's super quick, as I said, she's so special.
Well, in this setting, and when you looked at the pace in this group, you just wondered, because there were plenty of others that wanted to be at least forward position.
Yeah, well, they said there's a lot of speed in the race, but you just keep quiet and you just your filly, they're going to have to go some to be quicker than this one, because she is lightning. Like, she's super quick, and for a big filly to be so fast away from the gate, I mean, she's three clear within an eighth of a mile, she 60th of a mile, she's three clear, she's so quick, I mean, out the gate and into a stride.
No, nobody.
Super quick. They're going to have to be super quick to go, head to head with her. But she comes from behind too. I mean, she's set up with the pace before and made sweeping moves around the bend. So, as I said, she's a very versatile filly.
Well, this was special because it's your first graded stake win. Talk as the year, as the year winds down. Obviously, it's been a productive year. Talk about your business. You had a couple of the horses run in the FTBOA races at Tampa as well on Saturday. You hit the board with one of them.
We had another third in a stakes race with Arpa, yep. Which is, she ran the race of her life, and she was beaten by two good fillies. I mean, Kathy O'Connell's and Becker's horse. I mean, that
Scott
just won
Becker.
The three-year-old. Yeah, that just won the, I think, Florida-bred filly.
The distance.
She finished half a length. So she just ran a great race. We've got some really nice horses this year. As I said, we're blessed. So.
Yeah, and I'm just looking. That was our prerogative, and this is Rich with CCF. Now, this is not a Matisse partnership, but
no, that's not Matisse. That's the one that got away from Matisse. No, as I said, that combination is so lucky. I mean, as I said, they have four horses in the barn: Payne Price, Ladies Island, Thinking Cowtown. Thinking Cowtown, 7 days previous, won the Claiming Crown. She finished second to Ladies Island, first time out for them. And then they've got a half-brother to Payne Price. So, if the three previous partnership, horses have got anything to go by, I mean, we're looking forward to our private jet running.
Well, how many do you have all together, the whole barn? How many you had?
Altogether, we have like 35 horses altogether.
Nice.
Most of the, Richard Averill, he's the main partner. He has several partnerships in the barn, but this is a very lucky partnership. So,
well, 35 is enough to how many? And you get on. How many?
I ride like 10, 11 a day. Yeah. I love riding the horses, and I think it's a benefit because you actually know how the horses are going. You know how they're traveling over the ground. It's another dimension to training horses. I mean, I actually like getting on my own horses because I ride Ladies Island every day. I love her, and I can feel how well she's doing, and I think it's an advantage.
The majority of the horses that you've got, how many you haven't yet had a chance to really work with some 2-year-olds, you know, right from the beginning. I imagine there might next year you got some 2-year-olds.
Yeah, we've got a couple of nice 2-year-olds. As I said, we brought Payne Price's half brother. He's called Our Private Jet. I'm looking forward to him running. And we've got another couple, you know. We've had a couple of 2-year-old runners, but as I said, you know, we've got some nice ones that we haven't run yet that we're really looking forward to.
Well, clearly, with your background, Georgina, a big future ahead, and with some savvy owners when it comes to Rich and the Matisses that can identify horses that have upside for claim and then clearly, you know, developing them, whether by purchase or however they come to you, in clearly in good hands. First graded stake win and obviously many more to come.
I hope so. Thank you.
Not at all. An absolute pleasure. Georgina Baxter and Ladies Island. And if you didn't see this, I mean, Jaramillo didn't waste any time. Took control, opened up a lead, made everybody panic, and just cruised to the wire. And we talk very often about how we get frustrated, Georgina, when we're as bettors, we watch people, you know, riders try to throttle down a horse and try to rate them. Not when you got speed like that.
Jaramillo is super. You know, he's good out the gate. He's good in front. He's got good clock. You know, and he knows that, and he knows, you know, he knows his strengths, and he plays to it. So, you know, it's a winning combination. As I said, you know, it's attention to detail. We work very hard at this. It's not easy. And, you know, everything has to line up. And, you know, we've got a good combination and a great team.
Well, continued success, and it seems you're well positioned for a great 2020. Georgina Baxter, thanks again.
Thank you very, very much. Thank you.
Not at all. Georgina Baxter and Ladies Island, first graded stake win. But, of course, she had been racking up different kinds of listed and restricted wins with Ladies Island this year, as well as Panny Price and Quixote as well in the Sunshine Millions earlier in the year. And clearly, with the kind of experience she has and the kind of people she worked for, seems, you know, seems like she can't miss. Let's take a break. We're rolling up toward, it's actually going to be quarter of. So I don't want to, I guess we'll come back. We'll do some news and some other results. And I also got to give you another pass at the calendar. Hammer said he's already got 125 Oaklawn calendar requests. Good response from Friday. So let's take our last break of the morning. We'll come back. And we'll get tomorrow. We'll try to get Elizabeth Dobelis tomorrow and talk to her about her breakthrough graded stake win with War Story for Imaginary and a lot more. Andy Serling, just heard from Andy. We'll talk to him about the weekend. And since we didn't talk last week, I still want to get some of the Cigar Mile weekend thoughts in from Andy as well. We'll talk to him tomorrow. John White. And more. Back after this to wrap up on this Monday.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest, we know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet, and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $125 are on them. Sign up at ExpressBet.com using promo code BYK. That's B-Y-K. And you'll get $125 when you wager $500 within your first 30 days. See what I mean? House money just for playing the races you were going to bet anyway. Check out ExpressBet.com for more information. And don't forget to sign up using promo code BYK. BYK to get that $125 bonus. You're going to love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee.
Conditions apply. Must be 18 or older and 21 in certain states. Open account with ExpressBet LLC and reside in a state where such activity is legal, void, or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line, 800-522-4700.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
The North American fall crop continues to decline, but not here in Pennsylvania. In 2019, our number of mares bred increased for the third year in a row, this time by 12.5%. Why? Our stallion roster continues to grow. We have the best incentives and bonuses. Plus, there's the stability of our racehorse development fund. Why breed anywhere else? This is Brian Sanfratello. Go to PABred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Talking to the biggest names in the sport of kings, this is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Christmas in jail, Christmas in jail, had a little too much to drink. Ain't got no bail, ain't got no bail, and I'm spending New Year's Eve in the clink. I was in the wrong lane, feeling no pain. My car to 75, ran right into, you can guess who, and they say I'm lucky to be alive.
Merry Christmas, Happy New Year.
They're singing down the street, while everybody's having Christmas turkey. They give me bread and water to eat.
There it is.
Christmas in jail.
The youngsters, Christmas in jail. I gotta tell you, I was in the wrong lane, feeling no pain is about as great a lyric. Christmas song or not a Christmas song, it makes me just grin every time I hear it. Christmas in jail. And in fact, Chad Chexnader from Friday, he was disappointed that he didn't get Christmas in Jail as his intro song. It's an At the Races classic. We'll probably, usually we save that for the last, for closing day. So you'll probably hear it again, next Monday, Christmas in Jail. It's a favorite around these parts. I got to send Casey's on the board today, and I got to send Case. I think I came up with four, maybe five. It's getting harder and harder. You got to really, we've scoured the internet for the best Christmas music. Although I got to mention our friend Leslie's recommending something. I don't know if Maureen McGovern really fits our model, but I will check it out. Leslie, I appreciate it. She sent me a link. She also, and I really appreciate this, a very happy birthday to Gentleman John, Johnny Rotz, 85th birthday today, the third oldest living Hall of Famer, along with Bill Boland and Walter Blum. They're the only ones older, and of course Johnny Rotz with an absolute brilliant career, and one of Leslie's friends and her, one of her absolute favorites. She whenever something comes up. That has a connection to Johnny Rotz. She always sends me a Johnny Rotz note. She's his publicist. It's a voluntary position, I think. So thank you for that. Happy birthday, Johnny Rotz. Your Oaklawn calendar, a reminder. The address, oaklawncalendar@yahoo.com. You're going to write to Hammer, and you have to provide a photograph from Hot Springs or from the track or from, you know, something Oaklawn related, or a story. If you don't have a photograph, a trip to Hot Springs, or maybe you ran a horse at Oaklawn once, or whatever it is, come up with some anecdote or something related. All right, to Oaklawn, as always. I'm just writing back to Georgina Baxter to say thank you. I can almost do both things at once. Not the easiest. There we go. Thanks to her, and thanks to Rich and to Paul Matisse, who helped me connect with Georgina. She's got to get her. Yeah, Casey said her phone was not accepting calls, so we ended up having her call us. That otherwise we wouldn't have gotten to her. You know, we mentioned those two stakes that she participated in at Tampa, and Jose Pinchon and Tracy Pinchon with the win with the Cantheros colt Jackson. This was in the Marion County, the Sire Series, $125,000 purse, the FTBOA. Pablo Morales aboard, pretty much wire to wire for the Cantheros colt. Jackson faltered in the Sunshine Millions sprint preview. That did not go well. He stumbled and Sammy Camacho lost his irons. So that was a fiasco, but they righted the ship nicely for this spot, and this is probably a better spot with that purse. And then in the race where Our Prerogative for Georgina and Rich Averill and partners, JP's Delight, the winner here, a JP's Gusto filly, and this a homebred for Brent Fernung and Gene Callahan. Kathleen O'Connell and Jesus Rendon aboard JP's Delight. So there were the two breeders and owners stake results. I think we got you most of the Gulfstream action. Talked about the Stallion Series results. How about last night? We got to do fairgrounds too, the rest of the fairgrounds. But last night, and yeah, Steve Asmussen was with us, what, last week? So I typically don't run back, but maybe, you know what? Maybe we could. You got a very nice set of owners actually on this Shoplifted, which includes L&J Foxwoods and Cheyenne and Grandview Equine. Shoplifted, the Intermischief Colt, bred by Macmore Hall out of that nice shop at the Yes, It's True mare. And Shoplifted after, I don't know if I'm going to say disappointed in the Juvenile so much as in the American Pharoah, where it kind of went into that race. And I think we were all right. I know I liked him going into that. And Shoplifted did feel like a bounce back candidate in here and beat the 3-5 favorite. I'm not sure why Answer In. Okay, granted, again, Big Fig in the maiden win, but I don't know. 3-5 in a 11 horse field? That was a little bit of a over aggressive kind of all in response. And ran okay. I mean, got beat ahead. But Shoplifted and Ricardo Santana, who I think won three of the stakes last night at Remington. Won three stakes last night, including the Trapeze. That's the filly race. Pioneer of the Nile filly out of the AP Indy mare, Love and Pride. Three Chimneys homebred. Princina. I got to find out about that name. Princina. Okay. Santana also won. And that, of course, for Asmussen. Also won for Peter Blum with his Tappet homebred mare, Magical. Won the She's All In. Won clear at 20 to 1. Paid 40-60. How about that? 3-5 favorite Remedy was nowhere to be found. Magical. And so those were Santana's three wins. Ramon Vasquez won for Francisco Bravo and Lori Bravo. Congratulations to them with their homebred Oratory filly, Lady Orchid. Went off favored and just able to hold off Miss Orienta. Steve Williams and Louis Canonias got just a neck shy at 44 to 1. That was in the You See It. And of course, the other Oklahoma bred for the great Jim Thorpe. We love it. Cowboy Mischief, 5 to 1 over the 3 to 2 favorite, Fast Breaking Cash. Ken Nolan for owner breeder Kelly Thiesing, an Into Mischief colt out of a Bob and John mare. Cowboy Mischief, 3-year-old, wins the Jim Thorpe. And finally, at the end of the card after the Springboard Mile, Sleepy Eyes Todd. One of those names that just makes you kind of smile. Sleepy Eyes Todd. And this Patio Prado colt that was originally was with Asmussen, right? I don't have the PPs, but Sleepy Eyes Todd by half length with Rye Eichelberry over Chris and Dave, who was a big price and well clear of third. Shotgun Cowboy was third in here with Stewie Elliott for C.R. Trout. David Cobb owns Sleepy Eyes Todd. And Angel Silva, the trainer. So that was your Remington results from last night as their season comes to an end. And we're just about ready to send you out. I'll give you a quick rundown on the rest of the fairgrounds action. Vashri Girl for Asmussen and the Hiling Brats. That was in the Lassie, the 2-year-old filly race. You had the disqualification I told you about, Minute to Stardom put up. Midnight Fantasy ran a big race, though, and she'll win her share. Chimney Rock, the 2-year-old for Mike Maker and Three Diamonds, the Wyckoffs. That was in the Juvenile. Got a modest fig. 91 Assault won the turf under Bridgemo, Sean Bridgeman. Tom Morley, and not only does Morley train, he co-owns with Paul Braverman. Pound for Pound, you heard from Aubrey Green. That was fun. And then in the ladies' turf, Net Aber. Florent Giroux, who had three wins for Alan Landry here. This a awesome bet filly. She won well from the back of the pack at 12 to 1. And the sprint. Laughing Saint Song, A Song and a Prayer, gelding, also Alan Landry, owner Rodney Barrett, 1340, and you had a 70-1 shot, second, takes two to tango, how about that? What'd that exact to pay? 307. And the last, there was Delacour and Leal. Oh, that's actually from Tampa. I meant to give you that Tampa result, too. That correctness. The $1 million Yeah. Medaglia d'Or was a winner. Broke the maiden. There you go. I want to thank Eureka Da Silva. That was fun this morning. Johnny D. Aubrey Green and Georgina Baxter. Replay tomorrow, 6 to 9. Here on Sirius XM. And then we'll be with you live at 9. Good luck if you're playing today. Modest set of options out there today. And I'll talk to you in the morning. Thanks, everybody.
At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Whether at home, at the track, or on the go, ExpressBet is your way to play the races. ExpressBet provides legal and secure online and mobile betting on more than 300 of the world's top tracks and all the big events. And when you sign up for an ExpressBet account today with promo code VICK, that's BYK, you'll receive a 125.